Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued.
So today we're embarking on a really unique exploration, pulling some ideas from a source that is, well, frankly, pretty unexpected.
Yeah.
We're diving into a philosophical text that comes from the Church of Tinkerbell, which, okay, guides its followers with this mantra: radical kindness, whimsy, glitter, love, laugh, question.
It's quite a title, isn't it? Makes you stop and think. But the philosophy inside, it's actually really insightful. It gets into identity and play.
Right.
And our goal today really is to unpack how this source looks at masks and costumes. You know, stuff we usually just think of as like seasonal fun.
Yeah, Halloween stuff.
Exactly. But they frame it as a serious blueprint for adult stress relief, for exploring who you are, and even what the text calls sacred play. It elevates it.
So we're definitely not just talking about candy corn and, you know, plastic vampire teeth here. The mission, it seems, is to show that just dressing up is actually like a profound psychological tool.
Mm.
And the source sets that up really well, starting with that feeling, you know, the first time you put on a silly hat or whatever.
Right. They say this whole thing, this societal agreement to just accept temporary transformations, it all starts with that simple joy. Dress up. And the hook they use is great. When you see someone dressed as a unicorn or, I don't know, a cardboard robot.
Yeah.
No explanation is needed. We just get it. We accept that language of make-believe straight away.
Okay, so let's unpack that first big idea. They call it the invitation to step outside the role.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our daily lives, we're always playing roles, right? Parent, boss, employee, whatever. And they come with all these shoulds and musts.
So many rules.
Yeah, and the costume, according to this source, is like a physical, wearable permission slip. An invitation to step outside that grid into something more, I don't know, dramatic or playful.
Yeah.
Or even mischievous.
It's like you're voluntarily shedding the usual expectations for how you're supposed to act. And think about the examples they give. They're really vivid.
Like what?
Well, the person who's super professional all year, right? The mail carrier, maybe. Suddenly, they're a zombie just shambling around.
Okay.
Or the kid who's usually really quiet, boom, roaring dragon. Or the parent who's just exhausted, stressed about money. And for one night, they're a rock star, a superhero who can do anything.
Right. So the costume gives you that instant mental break, cognitive distance, they call it.
Exactly. Distance from the stressor.
And the source argues that this distance is like really important for mental health. But hang on, let me push back a bit here.
Okay.
If we only get relief by stepping out of our real lives, does that mean our real identity is basically a trap? And this is just like a temporary fix, not real freedom.
That's a really fair question, but I think the source suggests it's not about escaping yourself, it's about escaping the role, you know?
Okay.
We tend to confuse the two. Our job title isn't our whole identity, right?
Yeah.
So the costume is just a low-stakes way to remind ourselves, hey, I'm bigger than just this function I perform.
Right.
And they sum it up with that question they pose. What would it feel like to walk the world in different shoes or claws or wings? It's like a temporary release, but not from reality itself, just from the routine constraints.
Okay, I get that distinction. Role versus self. So then the source zooms right in on the mask, arguing it's not the whole outfit, but the mask specifically that has the real transformative power.
Yeah, the mask is key. It's the ultimate tool here because it presents this deep paradox. By deliberately hiding your face, the thing everyone recognizes as you actually get this new freedom.
Why though? How does hiding give you freedom? It feels completely backwards. Isn't being open, authentic, the path to freedom?
Normally, yeah, in everyday life, maybe. But the mask works differently. It bypasses the social filter, but also, crucially, our own internal filter, that inner critic.
The one telling you not to look silly.
Exactly. We spend our lives managing our expressions, trying to fit in. But the second you cover your face, that editor inside your head, the one worrying if you sound dumb or look weird, it just goes quiet. And the source points out, you put on a mask, and suddenly shyness kind of melts away. Boldness pops up.
Yeah.
Because the fear of being judged as you, it's gone.
So that's the key. It's permission. permission to exaggerate, maybe be silly, play around without feeling judged for it.
Totally. And this isn't some newfangled idea either. The source mentions the history, right? Masks have been used for centuries. Theater, rituals, festivals.
Like ancient Greek plays.
Yeah, Greek tragedy, African tribal ceremonies, carnival. Masks are tools for exploring complex identities in a shared space. They let people embody archetypes, different ways of being.
The insight I found really interesting was how they talked about the duality. You know, hiding and revealing at the same time.
Yes, it's about holding multiple things at once. The mask lets us embrace that complexity. To quote them, it allows us to hold multiple truths at once, to be ourselves and not ourselves, to hide and to reveal, to shield and to shine.
Ourselves and not ourselves. That's quite a thought.
It teaches us that identity isn't this fixed statue, right? It's more like a shifting landscape, layered. And by playing with that, by challenging the idea that we're just one single thing, we actually become more flexible, more adaptable.
That adaptability, that leads straight into this idea of pretend play, but for adults.
Mm-hmm.
We usually think imagination gets packed away with, I don't know, Lego bricks once you grow up. But this source is saying, no, this kind of imaginative role play is actually serious business.
Yeah.
A necessary tool for adults.
And they're not alone in saying that. Modern psychology actually backs this up quite strongly.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Psychologists agree that imagination and role play are really important for adults. For stress relief, for connection. Think about it. When we're stuck on a real-world problem, like money worries or relationship issues, we often just loop on the negative stuff, right?
Yeah, get stuck in a rut.
Roleplay gives you cognitive flexibility. It lets you look at the problem from a safe distance. Maybe try on the perspective of someone else, a character, who might handle it differently.
So it's not just messing around, it's like narrative therapy almost. Processing things differently.
You could see it that way. And the source argues this whole package, the costume, the mask, the play, it's fundamentally reframing how we see ourselves.
How so?
They make this really powerful point. Costume play is less about hiding who we are and more about expanding who we can be.
Expanding who we can be. I like that.
Most of us, you know, we live in a fairly narrow slice of our potential personality. This is like an intentional exercise in stretching those boundaries. A temporary low-risk rehearsal for being a bit bolder or funnier or maybe more compassionate than we usually allow ourselves to be.
So it's self-discovery, but disguised as just dressing up.
Pretty much. And because the stakes are so low, the fear of failure is tiny. If you try being a mischievous wizard for a night and it feels weird,
Yeah. You
just take the hat off. No harm done. But you've learned something about your own comfort zone, maybe your desires.
Okay, to really hammer this home, the source uses this fantastic metaphor, this tiny tale about a town called Evernight. This feels very Church of Tinkerbell. Tell us about Evernight.
Yeah, Evernight is this magical little place where October never really ends. It's always twilight, always that atmospheric time just before the big holidays, lanterns everywhere.
Sounds nice.
It does. And the story starts on the first night of October. The townsfolk wake up and something's really wrong, really disorienting. Every single mirror, every reflective surface in the town, gone, vanished overnight.
Whoa, losing the mirror. Losing that instant visual check of who you are, that's actually kind of terrifying.
It is, isn't it? And in place of the mirrors, they find these masks. Really specific, beautiful, sometimes strange masks, like wolves with these knowing grins, pumpkins with big hollow smiles, moths with huge golden shimmery wings.
Okay, before we get to what happens next, losing the reflection, what's the source saying there about how we define ourselves? Are we too reliant on mirrors?
I think that's exactly it. We rely on mirrors, which often means we define ourselves by how we look to others. External validation. Does my face fit the rule today?
Right.
By taking away the mirror, the Evernight folks were forced to stop looking at themselves and start being. They had to define themselves by what they did while wearing this new face, not by their fixed appearance.
So what happened? Panic? Confusion?
Yeah.
When they found these masks instead of their faces?
Well, yeah, initial panic. Where did our faces go? But Evernight's a place where playfulness is kind of baked in already. So the fear pretty quickly turned into laughter, curiosity.
Right.
And the streets just filled up with these parades of masked figures playing and interacting. And the source says for that one night, no one had to explain themselves. They simply became.
Wow.
Just became. Total freedom from having to justify yourself. And how did it resolve? Did the mirrors come back? They did. When the sun rose, the mirrors were back. But the townsfolk now had this deep secret understanding. The big aha moment was realizing their everyday faces, the ones they saw in the mirror. They were not prisons, but doorways. And behind every doorway, another self waited to be known.
Doorways, not prisons. That's powerful.
Yeah. The temporary mask, the playful disguise, it unlocked this permanent insight. The self has many facets. The face we usually show is just one option among many.
That really ties the whole thing together beautifully, the psychological depth in that whimsical story. It shifts it from just being about temporary escape to something more about, like, permanent self-understanding.
Exactly. They learned maybe they could bring a little bit of that wolf's boldness or the moth's quiet focus into their regular, unmasked lives.
So, okay, what does this mean for us? For you listening out here in the less magical real world. The source wraps this up with a very practical suggestion, right? A gentle invitation.
It's a simple invitation, really. Just try a costume that feels a little bolder, sillier, or stranger than usual. Intentionally push your own perceived boundaries just a bit.
So if you always go for the safe witch hat,
maybe try the rainbow fairy wings instead. Or if you usually grab the generic plastic vampire teeth, maybe build that weird robot helmet you thought of. It's about picking something that feels slightly intimidating because it's so openly playful.
Because connecting back to the big idea,
yeah,
the source's final message here is really resonant. It's that every mask is also a mirror.
Mm-hmm. When you look at the costume you chose, consciously or not, it probably reflects something you wish you could express, or maybe something you're a bit scared to show.
Which leads to their final question for you, the listener.
Yeah, they ask directly, what parts of me am I ready to reveal, explore, or laugh with? It hammers home that core idea. Identity isn't fixed. It's flexible. We have room to play.
Wow. Okay, what an amazing deep dive into, well, the philosophy of play and masks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try and distill the key takeaways here.
Yeah.
First, costumes give us that crucial permission slip. They let us shed our everyday roles, our shoulds, and get vital psychological distance from stress.
Right. Second, the mask itself is uniquely powerful. It silences that inner critic, giving us freedom. It lets us embody different parts of ourselves at the same time. It's not hiding, it's more like foregrounding something different.
Mm-hmm. Foregrounding.
Yeah.
And third, crucially, this isn't kid stuff. Imaginative roleplay is vital for adults too, for exploring who we are, for relieving stress, for rehearsing new ways of being in a safe space.
Absolutely. And thinking about that Evernight story, the town where October never ends, where night reveals new stories, it kind of begs a final question for you to maybe mull over.
Okay.
Since that freedom to play is so important psychologically, and this source encourages us to look beyond just Halloween, what small low-stakes mask, metaphorically speaking, could you try on in your normal life in a non-costume setting, just to tap into that freedom to play?
So not a literal mask, but like,
yeah,
adopting the quality of a mask, like the Evernight Wolf's boldness in a meeting, maybe, or the moth's whimsy when you're feeling stressed.
Exactly. Could you speak up with a bit more conviction? Could you consciously schedule an hour of just pure, joyful, non-productive fun during a crazy week?
Integrating the mask into the mirror, as you said earlier.
Yeah. What news story about yourself might you reveal if you let that freedom bleed out beyond the usual holiday boundaries?
Something to think about. Until next time, we hope you find a new doorway to explore. Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.